Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 21st, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the Roman numeral chapter, The Doctor's Opinion, on page XXX, fourth edition. And we're going to be studying paragraph 2 today. And it begins with the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and ends with many resolutions but never a decision. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R. Reading the text this morning will be Penny L.C. and then page 164 and catching what drops will be Stephanie L. Greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information today will be Lois P. Listen for her, and giving announcements this morning will be Leslie W. Good morning to you all. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Big Book Study meeting at 10 a.m. That would be Wednesday, the 20th of April, 18862, 18,862. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting is all recorded and ready for you. Thursday, the 21st of April, 18864, 18,864, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you, Melody, for your service. I'm Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, on my way to the Bluegrass State. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Terry H. from Florida. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Melanie. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And note that this is the star 1 key function only for muting, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Roman numerals in the chapter The Doctor's Opinion on page XXX, 4th edition, 2nd paragraph we're going to take apart today, beginning with the classification of alcoholics seem most difficult and ends with many resolutions, but never a decision. And I would like to ask Penny L.C. to read that paragraph for us and then take it apart with its directions as she's experienced it in her recovered life. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult, and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths, who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always, quote, going on the wagon for keeps, end quote. They are over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. And when I first look at the word psychopath, I think, oh, that's not me. I mean, because, you know, that's when I think of the definition that refers to violent behavior. But actually, if I look at the definition, if it says a person affected by chronic mental disorder with abnormal social behavior, and leave out the violent part, you know, it actually can apply to me. when I look at some of the traits and mood swings, you know, try to act like someone else. Well, I definitely put on a face, a plastic face, and went out in the world to try to pretend that I had it all together. And yes, as far as the mood swings, as I mentioned, I had highs and lows. That was the extremes way my emotions went. And seldom admit they were wrong. Well, that was my ego, 100%. So, you know, really, in some ways, I do relate to being this classification of alcoholic. But neither here nor there. The point is that the difference here is I'm over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. And boy, there's the key for me, you know, to make a decision, to go get to a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration, to actually follow through. There's the difference, you know, for me. I would talk about what I needed to do. I would think about what I needed to do, but I wouldn't follow through. I wouldn't make that decision and make it that choice to actually do the things that I knew were going to make a difference as far as my recovery, and to pick up this book and to actually follow the instructions in this book. And so that just kept me in that, you know, that circle, that, you know, like the dog chasing his tail. And it wasn't until I was finally broken enough and reached that point of desperation that I realized the difference, that I really truly needed to be willing to look at my disease for what it was and to be willing to make a decision to do differently, to choose the power greater than myself and step aside and be willing to take direction. So grateful for this paragraph, okay. But grateful for this solution. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny. LC from Washington for opening it up this morning.
Can you turn the page around, please?
Yes, that's about what I was going to do here. So just give me 1 second. I'm going to let folks know that we are now going to transition into other folks to comment on that paragraph today. We're on page XXX. And the second paragraph, the classification of alcoholic seems most difficult and ends with many resolutions, but never a decision. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. So if you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'll take a lineup.
Kathleen O.
Hi, Kathleen.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Pax A.
I didn't hear that. Somebody A.
Pax A.
Would you spell that? Because there's an echo or something. You don't happen to be on speakerphone or anything, do you?
No, it's Pax. Okay. P-A-X-A.
Pax. P-A-X-A. Okay, thank you.
Kim O.
Kim O. Let's go with that lineup right there. So we have Kathleen O, Robin P, Pax A, and Kim O. Starting out with Kathleen O for her 3 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in California. And the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult. So this paragraph speaks of the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable, stating we are all familiar with this type. So when I looked up the definition of psychopath, it's a person suffering from chronic mental disorder with abnormal or violent social behavior. And I don't know if I'm familiar with that type, but I can relate to the over remorseful type who made many resolutions, but never a decision. you know, I have no idea how many diets I went on or how many hundreds of pounds I lost and regained, but I was always making many resolutions, but never a decision. And I suffered a lot of pain and sorrow when I would swear off the food, especially after a binge, only to do it all over again. I was a master at making another resolution, not to eat so much that I'd become physically sick, couldn't think straight or function, which was always happening. I was over remorseful, never a decision. Keeping my will, manipulating a food plan, did it all. You know, I had a problem with not being able to control my food. I had poor judgment, and I didn't learn from experience when it came to eating addictively. You know, knowing how I was injuring myself physically with the food, swearing it off, making a resolution I'd never do it again, only to find myself face back down on the food. I mean, over and over and over again. I needed that ease and comfort when my life wasn't going my way. And my life was never going my way. I was giving my life to food. And thankfully now I give my life to my higher power. So, you know, I heard hope in the message of the 12-step recovery. I would never have believed I could be in a normal-sized body for the past 18 years, let alone have neutrality over food and not want my binge foods. I never would have believed I could have a sane and happy life, you know, energy, be able to get along with people and let God run the show, stay out of the driver's seat. And it really did come with making a decision of entire abstinence and working these 12 steps. So this is a journey, and the 12 steps help us understand the journey into, during, and after recovery. We help each other. We surrender to a higher power. And I do have more energy. I have more time, which I didn't believe was possible when I started this program, when I learned all the things I'd have to do. But I have more time, and I definitely have better health. There's so many benefits, including, and the big one for me is helping me become who I was truly meant to be. So, you know, compulsive overeating occurs in all sorts of people, including those with no serious emotional problems. It can start early in life or late. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm going to have this the rest of my life. I needed a power greater than myself, and thank God I found it, and I passed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your share. Next up is Robin P., and then following her will be Pat. Hi, Robin.
Hey, hi. Hi, everybody. Hi. Thanks so much, Melanie, for all your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently at the Fort Lauderdale Airport on our way back to Costa Rica. And, you know, I make so many commitments and tomorrow and today, and so just Russian roulette over and over again. And you know what? I wouldn't show up for things, and I had made plans with people and I would cancel them. Or, you know, my little sister was going to come visit me in New York City when I lived there, and I canceled on her because I thought I couldn't handle the food with her, and then I couldn't handle the food anyway. And just all those broken promises and behavior that no one could trust me, and I was so depressed and so isolated. And, you know, I always think that isolation and illness begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have in my life, the more support that I share with others and that I receive, the better I do, you know, for God and my fellows. And, you know, we just had this whirlwind trip where we showed up faithfully for my mom's 90th birthday in Florida, for my great aunt in New York City, and for my dad's 95th birthday in Pittsburgh amidst a snowstorm when we've been living in very warm weather. For a very long time. And it was just, you know, we were the only ones who showed up for several of those events. And, you know, other people had extenuating circumstances. And we did, but we persevered because of this recovery. So I felt like we were being carried on the wings of recovery. And that's the program, living in the steps. And now we're going back to Costa Rica. And we were such blessings to everyone we showed up for, and they're so grateful, and we have so much love and so many loving memories in our hearts, and it's all because of this program, and I'm so grateful to all of you, and thank you all for your prayers and your love, and I love you all back and send you all big hugs. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P.
Next up is Pax A and followed by Kim O. Hi, Pax. A quick star one, Pax, that will unmute you to share.
Oh, hi, sorry. I'm Pax A. I'm a compulsive overeater. I can relate to a lot in this paragraph. I don't know what the definition of psychopath is, so I can't really comment on that, but I know that I'm definitely emotionally unstable. One second I'm totally ready to give up the food, totally ready to do whatever God asked me, and then the next second I'm calling my mom for money, for food, and I'm driving over to the local cafe to get it. So definitely emotionally unstable. Also, the going on the wagon for keeps. I keep kind of going on and off the wagon. Like I keep restarting and then stopping and then restarting and stopping. And it keeps getting harder because the food just gets more tantalizing and the cravings just get stronger. I feel like I believe other people when they say the cravings won't last forever. But I guess I am really scared of the cravings, so I just kind of like try to avoid them. But they can't be avoided. They're part of the beginning of recovery, so I have to sort of just get over that. I like this sentence. They are over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. I feel really bad for my mom, and I'll definitely need to make an amends to her one day when the time is right. I've definitely been over remorseful, sending little hearts and I love yous and I'm so sorry and all the stuff when I'm just continuing in my disease. Making many resolutions but never a decision. I am constantly getting back to God. I'm constantly restarting. I'm constantly saying, okay, today's the day, or this morning is the morning, or okay, I'm going to make an abstinent meal. I'm going to restart and I'm going to try to forget that binge food I just had, and I'm just going to try to start from the beginning. But I like how it says many resolutions, but never a decision. So many promises, but never actual definite action of stopping. And that's kind of like where I've been for a while, is I've been sort of constantly saying, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do this anymore. But I haven't made that clear-cut decision. Thank you. To actually stop for good. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pax A. Before we listen to Kim O and her share for 3 minutes, I wanted to let you know the lines are going to be open in 3 minutes to comment on paragraph 2, page XXX in the fourth edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. You'll find us in the doctor's opinion. And it begins with the classification of alcoholics seem most difficult and ends with many resolutions, but never a decision. So in 3 minutes, you get an opportunity to be able to share as well. Kim O, you're up for 3 minutes.
Hi, thanks. This is Kim O, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be here today. And the paragraph, I don't have a lot of great insight, or I guess I just wanted to be able to claim my seat and be able to say that with each sentence in this paragraph, it reminds me of my unmanageable life outside of this program, and even in the program, teaching me a way to live with this disease and a way to live, in a different way. So when it talked about psychopaths and that being related to mental disorder and abnormal social behavior was, I think, the definition that was talked about. You know, I was constantly fearful. All my decisions were fear-based or lack of action was with depression. And socially, that awkward, abnormal, not comfortable in my own skin, being able to look someone in the eyes or wanting to kind of be a chameleon. And I think the, you know, the piece about being unstable, that's the biggest character defect that I'm working on right now, you know, with 6 and 7, is to be reliable, to be, make decisions in integrity, and to pause rather than reacting. In my disease, it was very clear that I was not able to do that as well. Going on the wagon and all the resolutions, I can't tell you how many times I said, tomorrow's day one, tomorrow's day one. And then the over remorseful, just beating myself up, and the shame and guilt of you did it again. You did it again. You turned to food. Not recognizing that I needed to abstain from the sugar and the flour and the things that led me down a direction I don't need to go. So this paragraph was just very meaningful for me, and I wanted to share that. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim O. Appreciate that. The lines are now open to comment on paragraph 2, page XXX, in the doctor's opinion. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and be sure that you haven't shared in the last 3 days so that it's your turn to share today, I'd like to take a line up.
Sherry K. Van B.
Sherry K. B.
And B.
Davilin E.
And B. Davilin. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Ron G.
Rosalinda V.
Rosalinda, is that what you said?
Yes, Rosalinda V.
Gotcha, thank you. Okay, let's go with that lineup. Sherry KB, Ann B, Davilin E, Ron G, and Rosalinda V. Sherry KB, you're up for 3 minutes.
Good morning, Melanie. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service and Team Thursday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. okay, good deal. Okay, so here I am. It's interesting. I was having a hard time trying to decide which paragraph to I was going to share on, and it's just because I can relate to these paragraphs. And when I first started in the program and I would look at these paragraphs, I would completely ignore them because I thought it didn't relate to me. I couldn't relate to it. But the more I got into the program, the more I surrendered, the more steps I worked, and the more times I worked the steps, I started becoming more awake to my own behavior that I was in denial about. That, I mean, I took offense when somebody said I was a psychopath or a manic depressive type, or I could only relate to the last, you know, one, that I'm normal in every aspect except for when it came to food. But the truth is that I stuffed my feelings around everything with the food. And to me, you know, if you really look at it, that's emotionally unstable to do that kind of behavior. But I was in complete denial of it. And, you know, always going on the wagon, always, and definitely over remorseful and making resolutions but never a decision because I was running the Sherry Show. And I never really turned my will and my life over to God and trusted God would take care of me and take care of my food and take care of my life. But I didn't get that till I started working the steps. And without that, I ran around unknowingly like a psychopath. And, because I was crazy when it came to the food. I had psychopathic thoughts probably about people and things, but I was too embarrassed. And I used to always say, if you ever, or, you know, looked in my head and read my thoughts, I'd be on death row in San Quentin. Who would have thought? And because of the steps, because of that, I can come to terms with this, knowing that this is, especially I'm like that when I'm not in the food, excuse me, when I'm in the food and when I'm not working the steps, I can go back to that behavior. And, you know, with lining my will with my higher power's will, it makes all the difference in the world. Then I become less psychopath, less manic depressive, and think that I've got everything together except for the food, because I'm in the bondage of self, and I have to do 10 steps every day and live in 10, 11, and 12 and redo the steps over and over again to stay that way. And thank you, and I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. And B, you're up next, followed by Davilyn.
Hi, this is Ann B. I am a compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years, and I am down 50 pounds from my top weight. And it's really good that I happened to sign on today, because this is one of those paragraphs that I've always found annoying. I find that people who classify things I find them stupidly pedantic often. And then the word psychopath seems so extreme. And it's really good to hear, you know, some people saying sensible things about a paragraph that I think is annoying. But, you know, another thing is people have always told me when you read the big book, you have to look up things in the dictionary. And I'm very resistant to that. I always say, oh, I have a good vocabulary. I don't need to look up words in the dictionary. And I suddenly realized, well, maybe this word had a different meaning in 1939 from what it has today, and that has been true of some other words. So I did look up the historical meaning of psychopath, and I discovered that, you know, while in our contemporary language, it does refer to violent behavior, we think of violent behavior, then it was just sort of any kind of mental disorder that resulted in socially unacceptable behavior. It wasn't necessarily, you know, when I say a psychopath today, I think of somebody who's, you know, an axe murderer or something. And it's like the word allergy also, which has somewhat shifted meaning in the medical field. And it's really good, this business of reading in a group, because, you know, it just kind of opens up my mind and helps me not get stuck in those reflexes that I have, you know, a lot of times, which are part of my disease too, a lot of these reflexes that I have, negative reflexes. And something, I read something and it gets me annoyed, and I just want to close the book. And and I realize, okay, you know, the word has changed meaning. It doesn't mean what you think it means. You do have to sometimes look things up in the dictionary. And it's just like a more humble attitude that I need to have towards this paragraph. So I will pass.
Oh, there you are. Hi. Thanks a lot, Andy, for your share from Florida. And then also, Davilyn E., you're up now, and Ron G. will follow you.
Thank you, Melissa. This is Davilyn E. from Manitoba, Canada. And I'm listening to the reading this morning and reading the reading, and just had an insight this morning. Pardon me, I'm puffing. I'm walking uphill. An insight this morning that I'm the type of compulsive overeater who has been in this program for 7 years, thinking that I was looking for recovery. But really what I was looking for was success in the program. And I couldn't get connected with Adonai, with my higher power this morning. And then I realized, I just sat down sort of face to face, heart to heart. And my higher power said to me, you're looking for success. You're looking for success. You're not looking for recovery. Recovery is coming to me with all the decisions in your life. And you're just checking off boxes so you can be successful. It's time to walk the walk for real, girl. And that is all I have to share this morning. So thank you for listening. It was an incredibly wonderful revelation. Thank you all for being there. Thank you for your service, Melissa. I pass.
Thank you very much, Davilyn E. from Canada. Ron G. from Florida, you're up next for 3 minutes, followed by Rosalinda. And then it looks like we'll have time probably to open it up again for a couple of additional shares. Hey, Ron.
Thank you. This is Ron G. in Daytona Beach, Florida. Really appreciate being here and that you're all here. The reading just reminded me of Fast Forward in the Big Book, where it talks about folks that have grave emotional and mental disorders. And many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. And, you know, I look at my life and you know, I've definitely got grave emotional and mental disorders and papers to prove it. But when I'm actually taking my meds, which I have faithfully for decades, they are not so much an issue. What I know is that when I'm in the food, those grave emotional and mental disorders get exacerbated. And when I'm in recovery mode, those grave emotional and mental disorders are not a barrier. I really got to keep my life simple. I know when I'm in the food and in the bondage itself, that I keep thinking, I got to add this to my life. I got to have a better place to live. I have to have a better car. I've got to travel more. All these additions that I need in my life. But when I'm in recovery mode and abstinent, I'm content where I am at and at peace. And there's an old statement that says, gratitude is not having what you want, but wanting what you have. And that place of contentment does great stuff for my mental health as well as my recovery. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ron G. from Florida. Rosalinda V., you're up now for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 2, page XXX. In the Doctor's Opinion, fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Hi, Rosalinda.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Rosalinda V. from California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I've been in this program for almost 3 months. And I'm learning a lot about the Big Book. And when I read this sentence, the one thing that came to my mind, I was so confused before, when I first started this program or another program that I'm on, that my life was full of chaos and a lot of strongholds on my mind, a lot of things that needed to be changed. And so when I see that word psychopath, I can really believe I was one, because my mind was all over the place. My life was chaos. So I didn't recognize that some of the foods I was eating now that I recognize are trigger foods, that they can cause mentally ill stability. And I feel like when I read the dictionary about what psychopath meant, it's a mentally unstable person. And to be honest, my mind was very unstable. It was very unstable. I really worried a lot, thought about what other people thought about myself. And I would just gorge food because I had an emotional problem, thinking that the food was my answer. And when I started to read the 12 steps and everything about just learning about myself, I could take it to my higher power and give it to him. And that's when I felt the deliverance and the relief that I don't have to live like that anymore. And right now I could say to myself, I thank God for my sponsor, because I told her the other day, you have a lot of peace. You have a lot of, I don't know you by seeing you, but what I hear on the phone is a lot of peace. And I thought to myself, that's what I want. I want to be free from chaos, free from insanity. And I do pray to my higher power that, I would be at peace. And I like the serenity prayer where it says, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and so on. So the serenity, the peace is what I'm looking for, so I can continually overcome those thoughts of eating, because I used to think that emotionally that would help me when I'm sad, when I'm confused, when I need to make decisions, when I really was really angry, I would go to food. So that caused me to think, man, I'm going crazy here. My mind is unstable. I am a person that I go to emotions that were very unstable.
That's
when I see that psychopath thing. Okay, thanks. When I see that psychopath word, you know what? That is what the enemy would like me to do, to go back to that kind of lifestyle. And I'm going towards my higher power and peace. Thanks for listening, Rosalinda from California. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rosalinda. Appreciate that. It looks like we're going to have time for three additional comments on that paragraph. Paragraph 2, page XXX, doctor's opinion. I'd like to take your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, perhaps.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Leslie W.
Leslie W.
Ann A.
Ann A. Okay, that's probably going to take us to the end of our recorded portion. So let's go with Mo H, Leslie W, and Ann A. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Mo H, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Well, I'm making the decision today to be more active in my program and being on the line with all of you. And it helped me last Monday to open my mouth and finally return after a long time of being emotionally unstable. And I said to my sponsor the other day that I was binging on my grief and that I needed to move on. And so this really hit me, that being emotionally unstable and, you know, being overly remorseful. And I was making many resolutions to be more present and more active in my life and in my new life as it is today. This also, it was the same with food. And, you know, we know the story about the frogs on the log. There are three frogs on the log, and you know, two make, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but you know, they make the decision to jump off, and how many are left? And you know, all three, because making a decision isn't the solution, it's taking action. And that's working the steps. And for me, I've been working the steps through my grief process, which has been very helpful. And I'm grateful to be studying this book again with you guys. So thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Mo H. from California. Next up is Leslie W. from Tennessee. Hi, Leslie.
Hey, thank you, Melanie. Good morning. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And I really think it's easy for, I think it's really easy for me to get kind of caught up in the semantics of this paragraph. So for me, I really like to focus on what I know is true, and what the truth that I can take from this paragraph is the fact that I never took action. I never made a decision. And kind of piggyback on what the previous person just said, is that, you know, I was really good. I was a really good talker. I'm a really good talker. I can go around and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I'm a good starter, but I'm not so good with the follow through. And my disease is no different. When I was in the food, I would often say things to my husband that were just not true. And like, as soon as they came out of my mouth, I knew I could not actually follow through with what I was saying I was going to do. And his biggest complaint with me was always my inconsistency. Leslie, you're just so inconsistent. I never know what I'm going to get from you. And that kind of person cannot be relied upon. That kind of person cannot be trusted, not just with the food, but with all of life. And I mean, I'm happy to say today that that's not me anymore. Now, do I still put the cart before the horse? And sometimes, sure, of course I do. I'm a human being and human beings are flawed and I make mistakes. But he knows today, like the people in my life, they know that they can count on me, you know, to do something if I say I'm going to do it. And I may do it imperfectly, but I do my very, very best to show up and do what I say I'm going to do and not just speak words that really sound good at the moment to pacify you. Like I would say whatever I thought you wanted me to say just to pacify you in that moment, but I never had really any intention of following through with it. So I'm thankful for the recovery program and the consistency and the structure that I have in my life today. It has saved my life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Leslie W. from Tennessee. Next up, and probably to conclude the recorded portion, will be Ann A. from Texas. Good morning.
Hi, this is Ann A., compulsive overeater. I loved hearing the shares today, and I can really relate to the emotional instability piece. I too, when I first read this years ago, thought, oh, well, that's not me, you know. But, you know, working the 12 steps and looking at my behavior prior to working 12 steps and even behavior since then, there was some pretty big instability in terms of emotional, you know, managing my emotions even and not letting them spill out onto other people in behaviors that were hurtful. And, you know, that was me. And that was me. And that veil being lifted once the food was down, you know, the veil being lifted about the truth of my behaviors, it was pretty eye-opening. And so I'm not where I once was, for sure, but there's always work to be done. And I find in that making the decision each day, like I've had a big health challenge in the last 9 months and of my life, really. And fear has been at the forefront, and the way it's manifested, working through that. I've also been working the steps as I've been going through that. So I think it's been a godsend, and I'm learning how to deal with a different level of fear, and it's just manifesting itself differently. It's also helped my relationship with my higher power evolve with more trust, and there's been gifts from it. And so I'm grateful for that. But I can also see where not working my program in a more disciplined way, those weak spots really showed themselves in the emotional instability piece. In the last 9 months, there were times I was just, probably could have been hospitalized. But thanks to the support of the 12 steps and the program and people I know.
That would be kind.
Thank you. I've one day at a time making it through. So thank you. That I pass.
Thank you, Anne A. from Texas. That does conclude the recorded portion of our meeting. We'll get ready to transition to the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So don't go anywhere. We have great, great new stuff to come. You don't want to miss it for sure. And in the meantime, I would like to ask Stephanie L. to please read page 164 from the Big Book, and then we'll transition to Serenity Prayer in the last 10 minutes. Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.